That ball skied deep to left field, all the way back near the wall, and that ball is gone. Grand slam for Angel Martinez. And just like that, the Guardians have taken a four-run lead here in the 10th. And Class A finishes off the game, a 10-6 final as he strikes out Cam Smith to end this one. Angel Martinez with a grand slam in the top half of the 10th inning is the difference tonight as the Guardians win 10-6.
So on Monday, Seth and I did a segment. At the suggestion of a listener, Hippolito said, hey, you know, it'd be a good segment coming off of that sweep of the Dodgers. When will the Astros next lose a series? Hadn't lost a series since the middle of May. 13 straight series either ended in a split or a win for the Stros. When will that be? We took the bait and we did the segment and we said, well, certainly, they're so good at home, the Astros. Certainly, it shan't be this week that that happens. It won't happen to the Guardians. They've lost 10 in a row. They can't score runs. Seth and I could get seven people together that score more runs than the Guardians could over the course of 10 games. They scored 15 runs over 10 games prior to coming to Daikin Park. They're not going to lose to the Rangers later this week. No, certainly. Maybe after the All-Star break sometime. Nope. They will lose this series. They may win tonight, but they will lose this series. And that might be the most frustrating part, Seth, is it anything that makes us nervous at all? Is that if this were a couple of losses that they lost 7-5 on Monday. They lost 10-6 in extra innings last night. Credit Todd Callis and Space City Home Network for the call on the grand slam that Josh Hader gave up in the 10th inning last night. Ball, total Crawford box shot to left field. Landed in the front row of the Crawford boxes. But a loss is a loss. I might be able to cope with this a little bit better over the last couple days if it was kind of like 3-2, 2-1, 2-0, whatever. Just low scoring games, the bats don't get going, and you get great pitching, which the Astros have had all year. Hunter Brown gave up 6 runs last night. You know, Josh Hader, albeit in a second inning of work last night, we should point that out. It's not like they brought Hader in and he just pooped the bed. Like he was good in the 9th inning. They brought him in the 9th to keep it at 6-6. Feeling like, all right, well, we'll bring our closer in. We know it's 6-6. We'll bring our closer in. We feel like at home, we got the momentum in this game. We're starting to hit a little bit. We get it to the 10th inning. We're going to win this thing. And it didn't work out that way. So I don't know. To me, it's a couple of games. I hate that they're losing a series, but it was going to happen eventually. I'm not nervous about Hunter Brown or Josh Hader based on one bad night.
The only thing I'd be worried about with Hunter Brown is just how much hard contact there was. I won't get into the super advanced stats here, but on average, Brown allows 85.7 mile per hour exit velocity. Last night, there were 20 balls in play that averaged 93.2 miles per hour.
Okay.
It's just way more hard contact than you're used to seeing out of Hunter Brown. And as he said, I just kind of felt like they were all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know whether it was something perhaps that they had picked up mechanically, whether he was tipping it or whatever it might be. That's the one thing that makes me nervous is that, okay, hopefully whatever it was, maybe it was just random dumb luck and he didn't execute, pristinely by his standards. But even when he doesn't execute pristinely, he doesn't have performances like that.
Right.
So the fact that it did seem like they were just expecting the change up at times, that's what would make me nervous. But I also know that between the Astros organization and the way Hunter Brown prepares, that he's going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm torn as to whether I want to see him before the All-Star break to get it figured out or if I want him to just go ahead and rest his body, get relaxed, and spend your time working on whatever you need to work on.
Yeah, as the team goes, look, the most frustrating thing about last night was they struck out 15 times last night. The Guardians only struck out 6 times in that game. So when you've got things, when you're making contact, making things happen, that's good. The Astros had so much traffic on the bases, and it seemed that the worst possible hitters were coming up at the worst possible times in this game.
They were 2-for-21 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
That tells you a lot of how it felt last night watching. Altuve came up in a clutch moment to tie the game and to eventually send it into extra innings.
Yeah.
But when you've got Cooper, Hummel, and you've got Zach Short as guys that are probably what they are in their careers, yeah, you're going to have some nights like this where you can't rely on them to be your heroes.
They were 0-for-9 with 7 strikeouts last night, the two of them. And they were, you know, and they've sandwiched in between them was Mauricio Dubon, who went 3-for-5 last night. Taylor Trammell went 2-for-5 last night. Like that, those two spots in the lineup this was the game where I'm finally like, yeah, this is what a guy who is a journeyman. Those are both Cooper Hummel and Zach Short are both fringe minor league major. They're quadruple A guys.
Despite all that though, and despite those guys playing the way you probably should expect them to play in any given game, the reason you lost, I guess the reason you lost and where you feel let down is that Hunter Brown wasn't his typical self and Josh Hader wasn't his typical self.
Yeah.
They still, even with that janky lineup, they've got a permanent getaway day lineup at this point.
Yeah.
Even with all of that going on, if you got a standard performance out of Hunter Brown or Josh Hader, then you've got a much better chance of winning that game.
No doubt. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, you and I have been sitting here, and we're not the only ones sitting here going, how is this team doing? All of baseball is saying that about the Astros right now. Like, how are they doing this? How are they winning these games? I have a hard time getting upset after losses if after the wins we're going, I have no idea how they're doing this. You know,
Sean, you know, I have a hard time admitting that I'm wrong, basically because there aren't that many opportunities
sure.
to do it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, for those who were insisting yesterday, you know, the Astros, you got to watch it. They played down to the level of the competition. If all it was the strikeouts by Hummel and Zach Short, I would still say to those people what I said yesterday, which is what, like, who are they playing down to? Like, a lot of the guys that have been performing well are guys that are those bad teams that you would typically play down to, or those bad players you'd take to play down to. Last night, where Hunter Brown and Josh Hader are the guys that let you down versus a bad team, and it's not the Rockies or anything. I might have to agree with them. Yeah, they played down to the level of their competition.
They may have. Given that it's those guys, I tend to agree with you on that. Yeah, it was funny. Like last night, that's where we're at with this lineup. As you're getting into situations in games, close games, where you'd start to look at, okay, lefty-righty type stuff going on with the opposing relievers and bringing in, okay, we need a lefty bat here, you know, that kind of thing. Amy turns to me at one point during like the 7th or 8th inning. She's like, do you think they'll pinch hit for, maybe it was Zach Short or somebody. And I said, Amy, if they had somebody that was worth pinch hitting for Zach Short, he would already be playing in the lineup. Like this is how bad it is right now. Or just, it's not bad. It just is what it is right now. Like the first two guys they bring off the bench last night to do something in a substitute fashion was Kennedy Corona to pinch run for Isak Paredes. And then Shea Whitcomb had to play second base and gets up there. Like these guys are not—they're not Major League Baseball players. They're I'm looking at the box score. There are 11 names in the hitting portion of the box score. The 9 people that started and the 2 people that got brought in. And you look at the names: Kennedy Corona, not a big leaguer. Shea Whitcomb, not a big leaguer. Cooper Hummel, not a big leaguer. Zach Short, Taylor Trammell. That's 6 of the 11 guys. Like, and the 5 guys that they have in here that I would say, yeah, those are big league players. Isak Paredes, very good. Cam Smith is still in his midway through his rookie season. Altuve's a legend. Yiner Diaz was starting to hit a little bit, but even he's still a relatively young player. Caratini and Dubon. Like other than Jose Altuve, none of them are anybody that is a name that scares an opposing team.
Or even has kind of stayed on this. Like when it comes to Zach Short and Taylor Trammell, those guys are just kind of journeyman veteran type.
I mean, they're
triple A players.
Right.
You know, they're
right.
guys that in any given year have a smattering of appearances in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. And I should be fair, like Isak Paredes, very, very solid. He's been an all star, that kind of thing. But it's not the guys who are the experienced guys that we're really talking about here. It's the other guys, like you said, Seth. Short, Hummel, Trammell, Whitcomb, Corona. These are all guys. So I said 6 out of 11. 5 out. Half your lineup, half of the guys that got on the field for you last night, independent of the pitching staff, are guys that probably shouldn't be playing in the major leagues right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and so that's where, and again, I'm conceding, partly, remember yeah. everybody. I'm yeah. admitting that, okay, yeah, if you want to say that the Astros played down to the level of their competition, because Hunter Brown and Josh Hader played down, I'd say, yeah, that's a
we'll take
check
that
plus
one.
For you in that regard.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I can't help but acknowledge the fact that that game even went 10 innings.
Yeah.
Is impressive in its own right, given the guys that you're rolling out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they clawed
night.
Their way back into it. Altuve yeah. got some big hits for you, including the one in the eighth inning. People are a little angry with us that we mess with baseball gods earlier this week when we did the segment about when are they going to lose a series. You and I are taking some heat over that.
I don't think that's fair for people to act like. I felt like we were pretty honest about the fact that It's a little bit flukish that they've gone 13 series without losing a series.
And if I remember correctly, it's not like we said the next time they're going to lose a series is in the late part of August.
Yeah.
I think you and I both said like that series that they got to go to Seattle after the All-Star break is that screams they might lose this series right here.
Yeah.
A desperate Mariners team, you know?
No, if you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at Sean for actually being at the game.
That's right.
And especially Sean, when he sits right there, when Sean sits in the Diamond Club, especially, horrible things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you were witness to it last year when you and I went and sat in Joe Sutton's seats in the Diamond Club. Kyle Tucker broke his leg that game.
Kyle Tucker got hit by a pitch. And my immediate thought was, it'd just be a bruise. He'll play tomorrow.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize at the time was that I was sitting next to the Grim Reaper of Sean Pendergast.
Yeah.
And so Sean Pendergast shows up in those same seats last night, and Hunter Brown has one of the worst performances of his year.
He did. The crazy thing about that, that when Brian McTaggart tweeted this after the game, he tweeted, "This is the most runs Hunter Brown has given up in an outing, 6. Since a game at Minnesota July 6th of last season where he gave up 7 runs in the first couple of innings. In Minnesota, mind you. Not at Daikin Park or what would have been Minute Maid Park. In Minnesota, and I look at Amy, I'm like, yeah, we were at that game. We were at that game, too. My hex on Hunter Brown, I've been to 200 Brown starts, and other than that period at the very beginning of last year where every start he had was the worst start ever, during the dominant Hunter Brown era that we've been in right now, he's really had 2 bad starts. And I was there for both of them, and one of them wasn't even in Houston. It was in Minnesota, godforsaken place that is.
Ugh. So with Hunter Brown, his ERA is it's above 2 for the first time in a couple
months. That was jarring last night to look up after he gave up all these runs, because you know on the Jumbotron up there, they update the stats by at bat, like if they're updated instantaneously. And after he gave up all those runs in the first few innings, to look up there, Seth, and see Hunter Brown with an ERA that doesn't begin with a 1, I'm like, oh my God, he's human.
2.21.
He bleeds.
Oh, still the second best ERA in the in the AL after Scooball.
Yeah, it's
like every time I see Scooble's name, I think of Liam Cohen.
Scooball.
I was saying it wrong. Sorry, Liam Cohen.
Scooball. Yeah, man. Second best in the American League. It's still got a 2 in front of it, though. I don't like that. I liked it.
He's
when it
third
was
in strikeouts after only having 3 last night. Yeah. That was I mean, he was still inducing a lot of whiffs.
Yeah.
But just not striking guys out.
Strikes.
It felt like the Guardians, who the night before, by the way, what's his name? The Guardians manager. It just managed his butt off the night before. Yeah. They were bunting in the second inning. They were doing everything they could to just get off the schneid and win a game. However they prepared them for Hunter Brown, there might have been some late nights and a couple pots of coffee into just figuring out exactly how can we get on Hunter Brown, because it just looked like they were jumping on him.
What happened to Jake Myers? Somebody's asking on the text page. He's got a calf injury, and he didn't play last night. He's not on the IL, so that tells me a little like Isak Paredes' hamstring earlier this year, Seth. Remember that, where he pulled a hamstring, but they didn't put him on the IL, so you felt like, all right, well, he'll be back soon. That's kind of how I feel about Jake Myers. They need him back in the line. They need big league bats in this lineup.
But he's also got calf discomfort.
Yeah.
And just go back to various calf discomfort people. Yeah. Christian Harris with the Texans had calf discomfort. Yeah. That was no big deal. Yeah. He'll be ready. Oh, I didn't say when. I meant December. He'll be ready in December.
Still doesn't.
We're still not sure. He still wasn't out there at OTAs, but we've been assured. Don't worry, he'll be ready.
He'll be there. Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah, the mistake we make is thinking that D'Amico's putting any kind of a timeline on this.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Sean is Ted Cruz. I'm the new local jinx now, I guess. Stop going to games, Sean, is another message.
Did anybody on the text line tell me when I was correct in my use of the term vertical integration?
Nobody has.
None of our economists told me? Okay.
Nobody has, but there is somebody on here who's trying to correct some of the slang that I was talking about before.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that it's Chris says, I believe, because I said somebody tweeted me about one of my takes yesterday, said that's cope. Yeah. Which is, you know, slang for you're being delusional. You're coping with something that you know is not true by trying to talk it into being true. He says, I believe the kids mean cap, which means it's not true.
No, okay, there's two
no
of them.
No cap means
both.
It's true. Yeah, yeah, no, Chris, he said it probably auto-corrected from A to O. No, Chris, don't get out over your skis. Yeah. You know, don't try to come at slang experts like Payne and Pendergast, all right? There is cap and there is cope. There's two different things.
Yeah.
Idiot. I'm just kidding. I didn't know either, Chris. I had to look it up too, Chris. I'm just joking.
Hey, Ben, how would I call that guy stupid in modern slang?
Oh, God. I don't even know.
Look it up.
I used to have a list of ways to call people stupid that I would keep because it was like in sports radio you end up calling people stupid so often that you try to mix it up a little bit. So I liked using the old time, you know, calling somebody a ninny. Yeah, that's a fun one.
That's a ninny. Like,
when you lean into it too long, and I've gotten old enough now that people think I'm using it because like that's the actual term I use. So now I got to start going the other direction and start using the what the kids say. So I can sound like I'm trying way too hard.
Do you keep the list on your phone like I do of things that annoy me, or do you have a Google Doc? Google Doc.
Oh,
problem.
Skibbity. Skibbity is a way to call something stupid.
Skibbity?
Man, that's skibbity.
Yeah,
DeLulu.
Haven't heard
again,
that
though. Listen. What did we say earlier? It seems like a lot of slang. Kids have gotten lazy. All they're doing is cutting a word in half.
Yeah.
And then using it grammatically and correctly and calling it slang. This is the one. DeLulu.
Yeah.
That's because delusional. You know, delusional.
DeLulu.
Okay. So you're saying, yeah, that's lazy.
DeLulu.
That's lazy.
You know what it is, Seth?
Your whole generation is DeLulu.
You know what it is? It's sus.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I know, which again, what does sus mean? You know what? This is a problem I have with a lot of the slang the kids are using is it's too easy for us to figure out.
Yes.
It's got to mean something. Back in the day, go back in the 1950s, parents were probably besides themselves with confusion about why cool was being used the way it was.
Right.
Wait, what the hell is...
Oh.
What?
Dude,
what do you mean cool?
Remember?
But I hear sus. I'm like, oh, you mean suspect. You're just lazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember late 70s when bad became a thing? Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm like, no, it's not. It's fine. No. Bad is good. Yeah.
Yeah. You're misusing it, but it's also like it's enough of a change.
You guys are
just truncating things.
That's all you're doing. Lazy.
That's trunk.
Yeah.
That's just trunk.
Good job, Seth.
Yeah, I'm tired of all this trunk slang creation.
That's trunk. All right. Payne Pendergast with you. I was told by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic that it was going to be a brand new Rafael Devers that we were getting. This is an amazing story of Rafael Devers' first week in San Francisco. Who can I trust now that Ken Rosenthal got this wrong? We'll talk about that coming up next.